Lord, this morning, as we talk about one of your prophets, I pray that what I share would be relevant to our lives today, because your word is timeless. I pray that we would consider where we are at and how we can move closer to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Please be seated. Let me begin with a very simple question. Which direction are you going in? I like that, Ann. She said up. Oh, that's good. That's very good. When you think about that, though, when you think about driving in a car, hopefully those of you that are beginning the process of learning how to drive are going in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
There are signs, especially maybe as you're getting ready to get onto a freeway, that say, do not enter. It's probably a good idea not to go in that direction, isn't it? You want to stay in a direction that is moving in the right direction, especially as you're learning to drive. But what about in your spiritual life? Are you going in the right direction? Maybe a better question to ask is, do you even have a direction? Is it just kind of, well, I'll go this direction and that direction and this direction? There is a direction that God wants you to go in your spiritual life. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at one of his men from the Old Testament, a prophet by the name of Jonah. And we're going to look at his prophet and look at the direction he was going in. Was it the right direction at first? No, it was not. But the neat thing is that God uses normal people to teach us incredible truths for our lives. And so we're going to begin a series today. It's going to take us for a couple of weeks in the life of looking at Jonah and learning from him many things. This series I want to entitle, God Can Use You. Because when we look at the life of Jonah, we look at the life of somebody who made many, many, many mistakes. And in fact, by the time you get to chapter 4, he is still making mistakes. And yet God used him. And God used him in a mighty way. Today we're going to talk about, which way are you going? And we're just going to introduce the book of Jonah today. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 1, the first three verses, 1 through 3. If you'd like to open your Bible and follow along with me, it's on page 654 in those blue Bibles that are provided for you. As we begin this whole question, as we look at this whole question, which way are you going? Okay, I've got the verses up on PowerPoint this morning, so let's go ahead and look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. It says this, the word of the Lord came from to Jonah, son of Amittai. It's interesting, in this day, in this time, this was 800 years B.C. that we're talking about now, when Jonah the prophet prophesied, 800 years B.C., and God, in his wisdom and in his plan, spoke directly to people. And so God spoke directly to Jonah. Now, God can speak to you today. That can happen. Who am I to say it can't? It can happen. But what he has already done is given us his word. So he does speak through his word. But in this day and in this time, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the prophet. Let's look at verse 2. It says this. He tells his prophet a message, and it goes like this. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God speaks to Jonah directly. And he says, I want you to go to this place called Nineveh. Now, what we know about Nineveh is it was a huge city in that day and in that time. Nineveh was inhabited by a group of people called the Assyrians. And they were warlike, barbaric people. It was incredible. When you study the people of Nineveh, and especially the Assyrians, in your history and in school and whatever, you find out that they were incredibly wicked, evil people. They would take prisoners when they would conquer them. They were warlike. They would take prisoners and take a huge fish hook and put it through the jaw of people and march them along in that way. Some of the things I won't even tell you how barbaric they were. Now, Jonah hears this message. And he's thinking, no, God. No. You can't mean Nineveh and the Assyrians. I don't want to go there, God. I don't care about those people. You know what, God? They can burn in hell. He may not have exactly said it that way, but that's what his heart was. They were very wicked. And yet, we see an incredible picture of God as we begin into this book. What is God like? What is God really like as we look at these first couple of verses? What is your heavenly Father like? Now, you have an earthly Father. I have an earthly Father. I am an earthly Father, and I am not perfect. And neither are you. But you have a heavenly Father that is perfect. And He is your model. He is your standard. There is a key verse in the book of Jonah that I think helps us to understand what your and my heavenly Father is like. And if we can bring up Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. On your outline, you need to fill in. This is what I think the key verse to this whole book is. It says this, he prayed to the Lord. O Lord, now this is Jonah speaking at the end of the book. Is this not what I said when I was still at home back in chapter 1, verse 2, when he's at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. Tarshish is in the other direction. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Let me tell you just a little bit about your Heavenly Father. He is a gracious and compassionate God, and He loves sinners, even really bad ones. Like the Assyrians were. And folks, they were really bad. I mean, they're sinners. But then there's really bad sinners. And the Assyrians were really bad sinners. He tells Jonah to go to these people. And Jonah doesn't. Let me ask you a question. Are you going God's way? Think about it. Are you going God's way? You see, he gave this message, what, almost 3,000 years ago. He gave it to a prophet, one of God's men. And he said, go to that city. Jonah says, I'm not. Think about our lives today. Are you going God's way? Are you being gracious and compassionate to people that don't know God, that have no relationship with Him? That's God's way. That's the way God would have us go. That direction. The essence of this is, if I can say it a little differently than that, God wants us to be witnessing to people. See, if you're going to go God's way, we'll talk about Jonah in a minute, but if you're going to go in the direction, God wants you to be gracious and compassionate to people, and He wants you to be sharing with them. See, that's God's way. God wants us to be witnessing to people. Now, what we've done is we've talked about this, and here's what we've said. Write this down underneath this. What I've asked you to do is pray. Are you really serious about this? Begin to pray, God, give me an opening with those people that are in my life. Then the second step is what we call acts of kindness. That can be anything. I told you a while back, let me report back to you, I painted my neighbor's fence. Not all of it. Not sure he wanted me to paint all of it, but I painted part of his fence. It's an act of kindness. We've done other things like that to our neighbors around us. You can think of something kind to do, can't you? To those people around you. And then the next step, the third step, is to invite them. To invite them to come to church. And usually, it's easiest to do that around major holidays. Because most people are interested in coming to church during those times. That's what God said to Jonah. Go preach against it. What we're saying is, yes, we need to tell others, but let's get in a process of moving in God's direction and sharing the good news with Him. Question number one on your outline, have you moved in this direction? How are you doing? I've been here 3 years. How are you doing? How am I doing? Folks, it's one step at a time. We got some neighbors, new neighbors from Orange County just moved in. I have not yet met them. They moved right in the weekend I left. But I'm going to go down there, meet them, introduce myself to them. When people move into an area, it's the easiest time to meet them. It just is, because you know they're new and you just say hi and get to know them. Have you moved in this direction? Let me tell you something. This is the direction God wants you to be going in. Don't do it for me. You're doing it because you love God and He wants you moving in this direction. He wants you going there. He wants you to begin a process of witnessing and sharing to people. This is His idea. And it's a good idea because we have the greatest news to give. And sometimes we're so ashamed of it. That's terrible. We have great news for people. Have you moved in this direction? Second question, just kind of following up on this. Have you adopted God's mission field for you? Wow. Have you adopted God's mission field for you? See, this is your block. This is your family. This is your associates in your work environment. Have you adopted God's mission field for you? Maybe all of you can't go to Russia like I've been privileged to. And that's all right. That's halfway around the world. That is important. But what about God's mission field for you? Have you adopted it? Are you a Jonah in your area? A good Jonah. We'll see him in chapter 3. He gets it together for a while. Have you adopted God's mission field for you? You are strategically placed in an area, not by chance. God knew, and He put you there. Have you adopted His mission field for you? Wow. Verse 3. Let's look at chapter 1 and look at verse 3. What did Jonah do? Read this together with me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Wow. What direction's Jonah going in? He's going in the opposite direction. This is not good. Here's what happens. God comes to him and says, I want you to go to this city, Nineveh. And Nineveh is in that direction. And Jonah says, no way, Jose. And he goes to Tarshish. If you look at a map, it's geographically the opposite direction. Can you believe this? This is God's prophet. And he says, no way, God. And he's going down to Joppa. And then he's going down in a couple of chapters, isn't he? He's going in the opposite direction of what God wants him to do. Let me ask you a question for evaluation. On your outline, number 2, are you going in the opposite direction of God's plan for you? God said, I want you to go in a direction, and He illustrates this so vividly through the life of Jonah. Go that way towards people, reaching them. It's your duty. And Jonah says, no, 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 God, I'm going this way. I don't care about them. How often do we do that? Whew. Now, why would Jonah maybe go in the opposite direction? Let's give him a little bit of help here. It's pretty weak, but it is possible that he knew if he went there, he probably could die. He knew that it is possible that if he were to go there, and start doing what God told him to do, it could cost him his life. There were not real good relationships between the Jews and the Assyrians. They were really bad relationships. They fought them constantly. They fought each other. Second is, he's probably prejudiced. Those Assyrians, they can go to hell. I don't care. Now, that's kind of a sharp attitude, but is that our attitude that we have towards people that God is bringing into our lives and we have done nothing to reach them? What are you saying? And I've used this term before. You know what you're saying? Go to hell. That's what you're saying if you're not doing anything. If you're not moving in God's direction. And one day, we will be accountable for that. Whew. You see God's way on your outline. God's way is to reach others with the gospel. God says, I love people so much. I love really bad people too. That I died for them. And I've left you and you and you to go and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Go share with them the gospel. That is our responsibility. That is our command. For the last 10 days, I've been in the country of Russia. It's been my fifth trip to Russia. And let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate your prayers for me. I felt them. It's amazing. I've been 5 times, and we stay there for 7, 8 days, 9 days. And I have yet in 5 years to get sick. Praise God for that, because you don't have a lot of time. And I had the opportunity to go and spend time with some great people of God. What I'm going to do is I've got some slides I'm going to show you here. And I'm going to tell you the story of what I accomplished by God's grace. There were 20 of us that went. You need to know something. The country of Russia is 3,000 miles from the north to the south. 3,000 miles. From the east to the west, it is 6,000 miles. It is enormous. What's the United States? 2,200? Something like that. There are three of the United States that could fit in there. I visited the War Museum in Moscow. Now, we talk about World War II from the U.S. perspective, and we should. And I, if my understanding is correct, we lost about 250,000 during World War II, maybe a little more. Do you have any idea how many Russians were killed by Hitler? 27 million. You go into the War Museum there, it's unbelievable what Hitler did. They wiped out a whole generation. 27 million! That's a whole generation that were lost to World War II. That was just overwhelming to me. There are 150 million people in the country, the greater country, if you will, of Russia. Communism came in, and under Lenin, he destroyed their church. Now, they had a national church, the Orthodox Church. Believe me, it is dead, going nowhere kind of church. But he got rid of it anyway. Got rid of everything about God. And for decades, they were taught atheism. There is no God. You're to serve the state for the glory of the state. There is no individual freedom. Till the late 80s, the early 90s, if you will, the wall came down. And in that time, groups were able to go into Russia and to begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ. My parents went in 1992, was their first trip into Russia. They went to a city called Voronezh. There was no bottled water. There was one restaurant in a city of 300,000 people. That's how it was just a mess. They couldn't find food. They had to bring it in and all kinds of things. Now, I've been there 5 times, and it's about 10 years later. And now you can see some of the changes. We don't have to bring in bottled water. You can buy it now. In the larger cities, there are lots of restaurants. In the smaller city of Kasan, where we were, there were restaurants. But 10 years ago, there weren't. There was no freedom. So what I want to do is just share with you about Russia 2003 in the city of Kasan. We flew into Moscow from Denver. It only took 31 hours to get to Moscow. We had connections and layovers and all that. It was a great trip. I'm lying. It's not. It's hard. It's difficult. There's no glory in going that far. It's not a vacation. Let me assure you of that. We arrived into Moscow. Then we took a train through the night and went geographically east for 12 hours on a train and got off in the city of Kasan. There we were met by a couple of churches. This is our second year to Kasan. The first year was really pretty tough. This year it was a great opportunity, great ministry. The churches were much more prepared for us. 20 of us that came in. Two Sundays ago, I was told, we got in to the train station. We couldn't go to the hotel. And so we went directly to the church. And what do you look like after 12 hours on a train and 18 hours of total travel time? That is the first message I've done where I wasn't shaved or anything like that, but it was a great opportunity. And I did the message I'm doing with you this morning, Jonah 1, 1 through 3. I had an interpreter and had just a great opportunity to just simplify this message that I've done with you. What direction are you going in, Russia? Are you going God's way? Are you going your way? That's the message. So we were met by these churches and we began to work with them. Now, let me share some. Let's go ahead and go to the next picture here. This was actually on Saturday. There I am, and Saturday in Moscow, I was told I needed to go participate in a seminar. And so the seminars we would be involved in, one half of it for 2 hours was evangelism. The other half was discipleship. And I was in charge of doing the discipleship side. I didn't know about this until about an hour before I left. But we had a great time with these people. And can anybody tell me what that says right there? Have any idea? Anybody read Russian? Let's go to the next slide. Well, you can't see it any better there. That says, He is risen. That was so cool to see that. And you see that in many churches. They emphasize God, and God is risen. We have hope. We have a God who loves us. He loves Americans and He loves Russians. And I had the opportunity to share. Then what they would do, next slide, is we would break them into groups and they would use this little device that I've shown you before called a cube. And it's kind of the Rubik's Cube deal where what you would do is you could share the gospel by looking at different parts of the puzzle. And you would go through this and talk about this. I'll use it at VBS. And go through it. And each side had a message and verses to it until finally you would get down to the end and talk to them about faith in Christ. These are Russians. These are people reaching out to their own people. The point of these seminars is to train them, not to train Americans. No, we want to train them to do this. And so we began. And I had an opportunity to be a part of four different seminars when I was there. I spoke one Sunday morning, so I stayed pretty busy. All right, let's go to the next slide. Throughout the week, we would do this. And here we have Americans leading the seminar and having translators translate with them. And then we'd get out in the middle of people and just talk and share with them and help them to be able to use this tool for them to share the gospel. Okay, next slide. It was a neat opportunity. This young man here, Murat, I met him in 1998, and in fact, he has been on staff with Global Mission Fellowship, GMF. And we had just a great time. He goes into these cities. He has to line up interpreters. He has to line up the hotel. He has to line up the churches. And he does this about 10 to 12 times a year, because that's how many teams go into Russia every year. This guy over here is Curtis Hale. You can't see him real well. He is the president of GMF, and we traveled with him and his group. Let's keep going. Now, the key to this whole thing, The key is translators. Because when you come over as Americans, you're not going to just stand in the background. No, the idea is you are going to help encourage the local church in Russia. And so, this guy's wild and crazy right here. Most of these kids right here, they average around age 18 to 21. They typically have finished 4 to 5 years of language study. They speak better English than I do. That's not saying much, though, is it? Watch it. All right, so here's the deal. This young lady here and this young lady here, this young lady here, they're all believers. They know Jesus Christ. I can tell you why. This little gal right here is Renata. Renata was my translator. When she met us at the train station, she said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I thought about everything you and the team said last year. And after the campaign, a month later, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And now, I'm a sister in Christ." That is what it's about. So she trusted Christ. This little gal, these two right here, they didn't know the Lord. And I'll tell you what, as far as I know, they still don't know the Lord. But they would be matched up with an American and somebody from the local church. And you'd go out in teams of three and go and do whatever the pastor says. It's not about us coming in and saying, "This is what we're going to do." It's about, no, how can we serve you? Next slide. This is Renata. Boy, she's really an ugly Russian woman, isn't she? Now, the other guy over there is Kevin. And I was teamed up with Kevin. It was his first time. And so all I did is on the first day, Kevin, Renata, and I went out. And Kevin would kind of hang back. And I would go up to the first person and say, "Hi, I'm Dave. I'm from America. How are you doing today?" Most of the time they would stop because it's not very often that Americans are in the city of Kazan. And we would talk. Now, Renata was very good because she knew the Lord. And she could get a conversation going. She could take a conversation. She was on fire for God. She was very cool to be with. 19-year-old Russian girl that has it together. Been through some tough stuff. Kevin and I thought it important, though, that we teach her some American slang. So when we began, I said, "Look, Renata, if we get into a conversation and you're okay, you go, girl." She said, "Why do I have to go? And where am I going?" I said, No. This is an American thing. You go, girl, means take it. Go for it." She said, "Okay, can I say you go, guy?" I said, "No, it's more of a girl thing. So, you go, girl." Then when we were walking together and we would decide who was going to talk to the next person, we'd say, "I've got your back." She said, "What's on my back?" I said, "No, you go, girl." No, I said, "Renata, that's another saying means I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be watching out for you. And in this case, we're going to be praying for you as you share." The third thing we taught her, very important, was a little fist tap. Boom. First time I did it, she looks and says, "What is that?" I said, "Yeah, it means unity. It means we're together. We're going." So we had kind of a three-way fist tap. That's the kind of relationship that you build with these people. Now, next page. Slide. Here's where we would go. This is typical Stalin apartments. They're everywhere and they are the dump. They are just dumps, folks. They're a mess. About 1,000 square feet, if you're lucky, 800. And two families would live in them. We parked outside this park right here because all kinds of people would come through. And we had the opportunity to share. Next slide. In this park, I was kind of doing the KGB thing right now. I was kind of out. This is Kevin sharing, and there's Renata, and then this gal here, Elena. So I go and show Kevin kind of how to do this. And then God humbles me, as he usually does. Kevin, first Russian he's ever talked to other than Renata, goes through a presentation of that cube, and that lady prays and trusts Christ. An amazing thing. Through an interpreter. And some of the interpreters don't even know the Lord. It's not about you. It's about God working through you and being open for that. Next slide. I had to get in a different position. They're holding hands and they're praying. You should have seen Kevin. Kevin's 25-year-old, Dallas, Texas. Walked away from God at about 15, almost died. has come back to the Lord in the last couple of years, and I think it's going to be used greatly by God. But this was such a cool scene to see. We just walked through this park in this area. Keep going. I had the opportunity to talk to many people. This little girl is one that Renata did a better job than I did, and she prayed and trusted Christ. In Kazan, Russia, 11 time zones away, and you wonder, is it worth it? Absolutely. Since we've been going the last 5 years, and one of the reasons I am committed to doing this, and as long as I'm able, I'm going to do it, as a result of 5 different teams, we now have 700 to 800 new believers in the kingdom of God because of this. And really being serious about what God says to do. Next picture. This is my mother, the one in the middle. She's a babushka. And I took this picture for a reason. The gal over here is Tina. That's her English equivalent. She came to Russia from Georgia, not Georgia in the United States. There's a city called Georgia. And what she wants to do is next year see a team go there that she can have work with in her local town. That's how it works. They go find pastors. They go find churches and say, would you like to have a team come? This little gal over here is Yanni, and she wanted to be a pen pal with a 14-year-old girl. I said, well, I think I know one that might work. And so Deborah has a pen pal, and they'll begin to communicate. Next slide. Between these two girls, I was humbled. They're 22 and 19, and they're more on fire for God than I am. And it just humbled me. She got a little upset at me one day because I needed to go talk with the pastor, and I have some pictures from that. She said, what are you doing, you weak American man? I'm going to go out there and reach people for Christ, and you're going to go talk to the pastor? I said, watch it, girl. You may not. I may have your back. All right. But she's on fire for God. We need to pray for these folks. Next slide. Meals. Just to give you an idea. So you have 20 Americans here around the table. Then you've got interpreters all around the table with us. And you have typically people from the church. And eating meals was the greatest time. I ate more soup than you can imagine. I'm tired of weenies and rice. I don't want any more weenies and rice. So that was part of our diet too. But those were great times. This is inside of a church in Russia, an evangelical church that is doing well. Next slide. This is my dad. This is my dad and mom's 8th trip. I think they're probably good physically for one more, and that'll be all. But they just love doing this and bringing people along. This little gal here, Irene's coming to the States, kind of like Tanya did. You remember when Tanya came here and we had her come and share a little bit? This guy's in the Air Force, a B-1 bomber pilot. They let him come. And he just had a great ministry among the people. Die for by Friday. This is Vika. Vika and her husband are on staff now with GMF, and she's doing what Marat's doing. Just a great gal, and they are just committed to having teams come from the United States and come and help and minister in their area. Next picture. Here's a pastor. This is Pastor Paul. I talked to you about local pastors in a church. This is Pastor Paul. This is Class 201 and Class 301. He has a computer, and they're able to download this. And he shared, after I shared with him this information, he says, you know, I've been praying that God would bring somebody to help us with basic discipleship material. And says, you're the answer to my prayer. I said, great. I've got something else for you from the church. And I handed him part of the money that you guys gave on that Sunday a couple weeks ago. He almost started to cry. Amazing thing is just to see this. All right, keep going. Here's his family. That guy's not in their family, but the rest of them are here. He's got 5 children. Interestingly enough, he has a son, 16, and a daughter, 14. Same age as my children. He's been in pastoral ministry since 1980. He was there when the communists were there. He had to run from them. They had to meet in different locations. Unbelievable story that he shared. This was his home. He invited me into his home. This, and he actually has this barn. Looks like it's about to fall over, but he's got it pretty well compared to most people. Next picture. Here's inside of his kitchen. They would have us in for chai. And this is the afternoon that Renata got mad at me about, but that's all right. She'll get over it. Vika came and translated. 30% of homes have microwaves in Russia. Refrigerator, refrigerator. And over here, it's not in the picture, they had a dishwasher. Slowly but surely, more of those appliances are coming in. Last picture. This is on the train saying goodbye. And it's just, you know, it's just an amazing time. And I'm not sure if we'll go back to Kazan because they're okay. We need to go to other areas that are far behind, that the church is struggling and the church is not doing well. I don't know if I'll ever go back again, but I'm sure I'll see him in heaven. I know I'll see him in heaven. Are you going in God's direction? That's halfway around the world, and that is important. But right here, we've got a work and ministry to do. If you are not headed in this direction in your spiritual life, let me tell you something. You're not headed. You're headed in the wrong direction. God wants you to be compassionate and gracious and care for people and lead them to Christ. If you're not going this way, folks, you're going the wrong way. Turn around and get going the right way. Because that's what this is about. Now, the rest of this series, let me just talk to you about Jonah here for just a second. The next six messages. Next week is Father's Day. I'm going to do something for Father's Day. We're going to do something a little different here than we've ever done before in this church. But the following week, is God punishing me? That question I get asked all the time. Is God punishing me? We're going to talk about that. Following that, we're going to look at a big fish story. Come on. Swallowed by a large fish? Is that true? Is that not true? Following that, we're going to talk about what do you do when you're in deep trouble and it is your fault. That's the following week. Beyond that, what's God really like? And that's Jonah chapter 3. And then finally, Jonah chapter 4. Is controlling my anger. How do you deal with anger? Jonah got angry when God saved Nineveh. What did God do for him? How did he work with him through his anger? That'll take us up till through the month of June and July. Final question. Are you going God's way? It's all I want you to think about this morning. It's what it's all about. Are you going God's way? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just your love for us. Thank you that you've made it clear in your word that you have a direction you want us to go in. Lord, we struggle with that and we're honest about that. Lord, I pray that we will have a renewed commitment to going your way, to be tender, compassionate, and loving to people that don't know you, and that we'll ultimately reach them. Thank you for this area. Look at all the homes going in. Look at all the opportunities we have. Help us to be moving in your direction. Help us to be following you. Lord, I think of this church. There were two of them that I had a part. Thank you for their commitment to you. Thank you for just the ministry that you can see after years of translators coming to Christ. Thank you that they are some of the best in that country. They're young. They love you. God, use them in a dynamic and effective way for you. Lord, thank you for our church. Help us to have a renewed commitment and dedication to reaching those. Help us to move in a direction to reach people. And not just ignore them. That's not your heart. Your heart is to reach people for you. Thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.